Hello and welcome to Scotland's Decision, the show that keeps you updated with all the news, opinion and analysis before the referendum on Scottish independence on September the 18th. In recent times, the foreign policy of the British government has angered people throughout the UK, including in Scotland. Many Scots see this as one of the main reasons to break away, to carve a new future based on social justice and equality. Others say that Scotland is no different to many parts of England and Wales, and that Scotland should remain within the Union, trying to influence its foreign policy from within, rather than from shouting from over the border. So on today's show we're going to ask, what would Scottish foreign policy look like in an independent Scotland? Would Scotland act as a progressive beacon that stands for international justice and humanitarian issues? Or would an independent Scottish government make the same mistakes the British government has? We travelled up to Scotland to get a feel of how an independent Scotland would shape its foreign policy, and what the Scottish people think of the current UK foreign policy. Here's what we found out.
As the referendum draws closer, many people in Scotland are tempted to vote yes to break away from Westminster's unpopular foreign policy. For years, many Scots have felt disillusioned with the way the UK presents itself on the global stage. But would independence bring about a fairer, more just foreign policy? One that would counteract Westminster. The invasion of Iraq symbolises the British public's contempt for the ruling class that took the country to war. There's a strong anti-war feeling in Scotland that was angered by this, triggering calls for a separate foreign policy, one based on social justice and not imperialism. But not everyone sees it this way.
Although it was not a decision that was taken in Scotland by the Scottish Parliament at the time, elected by the Scottish people, did take a vote on the Iraq war and did support it.
But Hamza Youssef, Minister for External Affairs and International Development, comes from a very different position, stressing the need for a sovereign and independent Scottish foreign ministry.
If we take some of the most recent conflicts and crises, the further escalation between Israel and Gaza as an example, I think people are seeing that the UK government has not acted urgently and has been disgracefully inactive and silent, actually, on the matter, when indeed international action was much needed. So people see an alternative there. If Scotland becomes independent, it can have a fairer, more just, more compassionate foreign policies.
Since the start of the independence campaign, there's been a growing sentiment of a need for change, whether within the UK or as an independent country.
Aye, that's one of the main reasons I'm for it as well. I mean, we don't need dragged into wars that are nothing to do with us, like America and England.
I think it is unfair if England are making them fight for their war, especially like Tony Blair making the whole Iraq war, where so many people are against it.
It'd be up to Scotland's holder to say, well, are we going to join these wars or are we safe and happy where we are?
If Scotland becomes independent, its foreign policy principles would take years to iron out as it builds fresh alliances across the world. Ian Murray, Labour Member of Parliament for Edinburgh South, believes there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding this debate.
Well, the determination of foreign policy hasn't been laid out in terms of what an independent Scotland would do. Yes, people have different views on foreign policy. There's also other views on foreign policy, for example, the intervention in Kosovo, the interventions in Rwanda. All of these issues are foreign policy issues that the general public, if I can use that term, were broadly in support of.
Many people believe an independent Scotland would pave a new path for foreign policy, one that counteracts the status quo at Westminster. Other Scots are sceptical of this, doubtful that an independent Scotland would be inherently more progressive. Whatever the outcome of the independence vote, it would appear that many Scots are eager for a different way of doing things on the world stage.
To discuss the issues of foreign policy and Scotland, I have two guests in the studio with me today. Siddiqat Khan is from Glasgow but lives in London, working as a project manager whilst campaigning for a yes vote. And Toby Fenwick is a research associate at Centre Forum, having previously worked at the UK Treasury and the Department for International Development in South Sudan. Toby is campaigning for a no vote. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Siddiqat, if I can start with you, why are you voting yes in terms of foreign policy? Is that a big issue for you?
For me, yes, because I believe foreign policy, the independence debate is not necessarily going to be on stuff that's already devolved to the Scottish government. Fundamentally, it's the things that we don't have a say in, and foreign policy being one of the main things that we really have no say in. And I think there's a strong public opinion against what the status quo or what the current foreign policy is being deployed by Westminster governments would be.
And do you think that's why many people are voting yes?
I believe it's not. It won't be a fundamental reason why, but it will be one of the key elements which will form an opinion in that direction, yes. I mean, I think foreign and domestic policies are key, but foreign policy is quite a central part of it all.
And Toby, if I can turn to you now, why are you voting no, or why are you campaigning for a no vote in terms of foreign policy?
I think Sadakat is right, that it's not going to be a key driver for most people's votes. But firstly, we are, as the UK, we have a Security Council seat, we have a leading role and a leading voice in Europe. And I sympathise with those who opposed the 2003 Iraq War. I was one of them. The fact that 1 million people marched in London represented the fact that mostly in the UK were opposed to what was an illegal conflict. So the question for me really about to an independent Scotland is how much effect can you actually have? And actually, how constrained would you be by sitting down and being bound by EU common positions? So the piece in the package we just saw, to hear that Scotland would have done something different on Gaza within the European context implies that they don't understand how the European common positions work. And so Scotland would actually be hidebound by what it can get in the rest of the EU. It would lose influence over the Security Council. And it would be sitting down being a smaller voice.
Sadakat, do you think a Scottish foreign policy would be radically different to Westminster? Do you think it would be more socially just, more equal?
Yes, I would. But just on what Toby's saying, so Toby's key point here is that we'd end up losing, we wouldn't be punching above our weight as we supposedly are now, but fundamentally the argument here is, what's the point of punching above your weight when you're actually doing nothing useful with that? In the end, the objectives of foreign policies from Westminster currently are not in line with what the Scottish people would generally want. So the point of having all that additional veto rights at the Security Council, the ability to be able to sway a lot of movement and opinion across the world, but when the outcome of that, for example, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, if the Iraq war, I mean, the whole scenario with what's going on with Syria at the moment, that the entire situation across the Middle East and Northern Africa, what's the point of having the ability to be able to hit over and above your own weight if that's not actually going to be in line with
Scotland? Surely would lose a lot of influence, wouldn't they? Well, if they became independent, they wouldn't be part of the UK anymore.
Well, perhaps so, but then that's in the context of the current bully boy school playground politics in an international arena that the UK and the US are currently deploying. The UK and the US historically have always just gone about and done their own thing. Scotland would play a more important role, but it would play it within the context of the United Nations. It would be more collaborative. It would be having people to come on board and work in conjunction with you, which, to be honest, is the way forward rather than going in gun-ho, both feet forward. And we've seen that time and time again, illegal wars.
Turn to you now. You're desperate to get in here.
Well, I think that this is a critique that sort of falls. I mean, if I look at the people of Libya in 2011, it was Anglo-American-led airstrikes that sat down and got rid of the Gaddafi regime in concert with the Libyan people.
Just on that,
having, as you mentioned, Luke, I was in South Sudan with the FID. I've seen the ability that all of us working together, both DFID in East Kilbride, DFID in London, and a £12 billion budget, allows us to bring a great deal of soft power to sitting down, helping people change societies.
We're going to come back to this in a couple of minutes. We've got to move on just now, just 2 minutes, sorry. Now, we want to make the show as interactive as possible, and that means what you say to us counts. So we've set up special pages on Facebook and Twitter so that you can get in touch with us and get your views read out on air. Here's Faiza Ahmed with what you've been saying about foreign policy.
This week we wanted to find out what you all think an independent Scotland's foreign policy should be. We received a number of responses. So starting with Twitter, Tom from Scotland has tweeted, "Scots need independence not just to redistribute wealth, UK foreign policy equals illegal wars and genocide." And Derek from Scotland adds, "If we vote no, Westminster will dictate foreign policy, which means selling weapons to Israel to kill kids. No thanks." However, Liam from Hull doesn't quite agree. He says, "What on earth does Iraq and Afghanistan have to do with Scotland, whether my kids get a good education and what level of healthcare I will get when I'm 70? And in a Facebook post, Jeffrey from Scotland says, The argument that foreign policy has no relevance to working-class Scottish people living in Scotland is a myth perpetuated only by UK loyalists who want to hold on to the shackles of Westminster. The biggest and least favourable funds are spent on the UK's aggressive foreign policies. Therefore, this is our money, hence my concern. And Tammy from Scotland says, the most unstable countries around the world are countries that have recently or are about to break up. For example, Sudan, Ukraine and Palestine. Do I want the same to happen to the UK? I don't think so. Now, Alex Salmond's recent calls for an arms embargo in Israel has also stirred up a debate. We received a number of emails on this. And Derek from Scotland says, thank God the Scottish leader has the backbone that Cameron lacks. Well done, Salmond. And Farinas from Scotland adds, Alex Salmond has called for an arms embargo on Israel over the Gaza attacks. Maybe an independent Scotland wouldn't be so bad. And Susan from Wales says, glad someone has got some spine and principles. Good on him for calling an embargo. And Tim from London doesn't seem to be too pleased with this. He's emailed in to say, the purported call by Salmond for a British arms embargo against Israel is patently ludicrous. Has he called for a similar arms embargo against Hamas? It is readily apparent that Salmond has been wrongfully influenced by none other than Scottish Muslim Minister Hamza Yousaf. And that's all the comments we have for this week. If you'd like to have your views featured on the show, do send us an email or you can engage with us on social media by joining our Facebook page or following us on Twitter.
Stacket, if I can come to you now, a lot of our viewers are mentioning Salmond's arms embargo on Israel. What do you make of that, like that speech by Salmond?
I think that just draws it demonstrates the key difference between what we as the Scottish people would expect the Scottish government to do in an independent Scotland compared to what's actually happening at Westminster. And these are one of the key differences that we've called upon. One of the people that wrote in said, why is there no arms embargo on Hamas? Well, yes, there should be an arms embargo on Hamas. However, we're not actually selling any arms to Hamas, whereas we are, in fact, supplying arms to Israel. So it's within our remit to do so.
Do you respect Salmond for saying that and for coming out and saying that?
Absolutely. I mean, Hamza was bang on the button there when he said that, you know, the British government has been absolutely disgraceful in its approach to dealing with the whole Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And I think it's important that, you know, these are the kind of things that are very emotive, and the general public in Scotland get very worked up about these kind of things. And that's an exact example of why, as an independent Scotland, we feel the approach that Scotland would take would be significantly different from what Westminster would.
Toby, I mean, isn't it true? Alex Salmond said this. It's quite progressive. It's quite bold for a leader to say this. Isn't it quite refreshing to hear that in Scotland, away from the kind of the status quo in Westminster? Isn't it? Don't you feel quite refreshed by that?
I think it's interesting that he said this. I think it's important.
Do you agree with him?
I do actually. I think there should have been an arms embargo, and I'm firmly in the two-state solution camp. And I think that what the Israeli government is doing is illegal, and I think that the targeting decisions that it's making in Gaza are reprehensible.
So wouldn't a Scottish foreign policy independently be able to do things about that?
Well, my answer is no, right. Because firstly, Scotland, in terms of actually being able to make an impact on an arms embargo, how many arms does Scotland sell to Israel? And secondly, it would be bound by the EU common position. So if Scotland was inside the EU, it would be bound by the EU common position, which is where the UK government is. And we have more chance of influencing that in, I think, a positive manner as a single country than Scotland would have alone, or indeed the rest of the UK would have.
Isn't Scottish independence a good way of weakening British imperialism and lessening the chances of us going to war in the future?
No, I mean, I don't think that's one of the key reasons why anybody would vote for an independent Scotland, to weaken the Westminster. I think, really, it's about your aspirations for where you want to see yourself, your family, your people, your country. It's about the direction where you want to go in. I was watching TV last night, and basically there was a reference made that you don't actually... when two people decide that they want to separate and they've come to an agreement that they're going to go down their own separate ways, you don't sit there and decide who's got, you know, you don't decide whether you're going to separate or not because you might get the lesser amount of CDs in your collection. You know, you say that just happens to be a byproduct. Going back to your point, no, I think that's not the reason why anybody would vote an independent Scotland. The main reason being, is because we have aspirations to be in a particular direction, and the way we're being funneled via by Westminster is not where we would like to be ideologically.
So, sorry, Toby, can I turn to you now? Do you think weakening British imperialism through Scottish independence is a good thing? I mean, maybe it might happen.
Well, I think I probably disassociate myself from your characterisation of British imperialism. I don't see anybody running an empire out of London at all these days. I mean, this is the language of 100 years ago. I think the question of how much difference could an independent Scotland make if it was going to have what Robin Cook, of course, famously a Scottish foreign secretary, described as an ethical foreign policy, I think the answer is that it would have a very small voice, and I don't think it would actually make any difference. And that's why I have a problem with what Hamza said, because he's sitting down and making it as if he had a clear and unambiguous voice. Sorry, but
we're going to come back to this in just a second. Okay. We've got to move on again, just 2 minutes again, sorry. But many people in the UK will know Elaine C. Smith for her acting and comedy skills on TV and the theatre. But during the independence campaign, Elaine has been one of the hardest working and most vocal supporters of the Yes vote, travelling across Scotland, urging people to vote Yes. I caught up with her in Glasgow, keen to get her views on Scotland's relationship with the UK's foreign policy. Would Scottish independence mean the people of Scotland are not dragged into another illegal war?
Well, I certainly would hope that. I do not believe that a Scottish Parliament would go to war without it being sanctioned by the UN or with a full debate and vote within the Parliament and having about whether our sons and daughters go to a war. And I think for many, many people, that will be a decision and a view that they would take in Scotland. But that doesn't mean that people in England wouldn't have a similar view of that. You know, millions of people marched and nothing was done. But I would hope a Scottish Parliament in an independent Scotland would be far, far more of a guarantee of that.
Do you think nuclear weapons would leave Scotland if it became independent?
Overnight? No. I'm a realist. I think there will be a lot of negotiation about that, but it would be very interesting to see if it would be Scotland that was negotiating with the Americans about having it there as opposed to London, and how different those negotiations would be. But it would be unrealistic to think we could just say that's it, Trident's out, when the UK government would have nowhere to put it. They haven't got a facility.
Do you think Scotland would play an important role in the world if it became independent, and if so, what would that role be?
It depends what you think of as important. I know that the UK government wants to keep nuclear weapons so it can get its seat at the top table as far as with the top five guys there, the big countries there with nuclear weapons. I don't think Scotland will really be that interested in wielding that sort of a power. I think it will have the influence that it's always had in writing and music, and I actually think more. I think it is very, very difficult for our culture, our politics, our view of the world to be heard or listened to at all if it's always through the prism of London.
What would be your message to the undecided voters?
Listen to the arguments, get engaged, use your vote. Use your vote, go out and get engaged in it, because this vote won't come around, certainly not for another generation. I mean, if it's a no vote, it's a never ending for me. I'm out there again. And I won't be disheartened by it, you know. I want the vote to be close, at least. I'm campaigning with all my might for a yes vote. But I think as we get nearer the date, then those undecideds will engage more and think about what they really want. And don't have it based on fear. And don't have it only based on, will I be 50 quid better off? I understand that debate when you've no got 50 quid. But really, this is about something bigger. Lift your eyes, lift your heart, and think about what you really want and have a bit of vision about it. And go out there and be proud of yourself and vote.
Toby, if I can turn to you now, you're a bit of an expert in this field, and Scotland, if they want to become independent, want to remain within NATO. But if we were to remain within NATO, wouldn't we have to keep these nuclear weapons?
Well, I think there's two points that are quite interesting. The first is that it was only in 2012 that the SNP ended a 30-year opposition to NATO, and so one questions the credibility of their conversion. It feels a lot like going to a sort of independence-light position where the minimum things change, and people want NATO, so they've decided to join NATO. Trident is clearly a major issue for people in Scotland, as it is in the rest of the UK. Personally, I oppose the replacement of Trident, and I've written extensively on this.
Is it mainly a symbolic issue?
I think it's a real issue in the sense that Britain, as a force for good, needs to be sitting down and be seen to move towards the nuclear non-proliferation treaty requirements to reduce the number of nuclear weapons that we have and eliminate them. But in terms of how you can, if you're independent Scotland, you can sit down and say we want to reduce defence spending at the same time as we want to kick out Trident and we want to join the club. I mean, it's hard to see how all these things come together.
So if I'm turning to you now, do you think it seems credible that Salmon wants to get rid of nuclear weapons but at the same time wants to join a nuclear-led alliance?
It's credible, yes. I'm sorry, I'm not particularly clued on this, but are we saying that everybody that's a member of NATO has nuclear weapons?
No, but it's... Sorry.
It's all right. I think the point is that it's NATO's got a clear nuclear doctrine of first use, Article 5, and if there were an attack, we are not constrained, and that NATO as an alliance would be prepared to use nuclear weapons.
I think it's a personal choice, though, for example, we allow policemen to carry guns here, it doesn't mean that we all allow everybody to carry guns here, whereas in the US, so if you want to be part of a group for the purposes of national security, to ensure your security in a wider world, then I don't see any reason why we can't continue to be so without actually physically carrying the nuclear weapons ourselves.
But this is a problem in terms of a lot of the SNP policy can be seen as free riding on other people, and it's about making a contribution. And I think the question actually about nuclear sharing in Europe, we see Belgium, we see the Netherlands, we see Germany, we see Italy, we see Turkey having aircraft dedicated to the nuclear mission. And so there is a broader case about where this fits. I'm just saying it's not credible to come in and say, I want to join your club, but I'm only prepared to do it on my rules.
With only a couple of minutes left of the show, don't you think if Scotland became independent, they'd be very insignificant in the world?
No, look, I disagree. I think Scotland would be a force for good. Despite the fact that, yes, we wouldn't necessarily come with the same clout that the UK as it does at the moment, because it's a far, far more established, far more entrenched within these political arenas country. But I believe that at the very least, we may be doing far less, or we won't necessarily carry the same amount of weight, but ultimately, we'd still be doing what we wanted. A lot of the things that happens at Westminster, particularly in the foreign policies, aren't in line with what we as the Scottish people want. So it's better not to have that weight and still do something in the direction of where you want it to be than to have all that weight and it go in the wrong direction.
And Toby, final word with you. An independent Scotland, insignificant in the world?
I think Scotland brings many things to the table. I've never said that Scotland as an independent country couldn't work. I'm simply saying that we're better off together in taking Scottish values and British values and projecting them on the world stage.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in today. It was really good to hear. I hope you enjoyed it. Okay, that's all the time I've got for you today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And once more, thank you to our guests for joining us. Also, please don't forget to contact us with your views on the show and the issues raised in this programme. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for more news, opinion and analysis on the upcoming Scottish referendum. Take care.